For most of us, Venice is a picture postcard. Visitors rarely get to see inside the beautiful and mysterious buildings that grace the city's canals. Jane Turner Rylands is among the privileged few. Rylands moved to Venice with her husband in 1973, and their son was born there 8 years later. Her first book, Venetian Stories, is a fictional journey into the heart of Venice. It's a series of stories about the people who live there, the postman, the contessa, the collector, to name a few. Each story contains a secret, and as the secrets unfold, the inner life of the city is revealed. Ryland says the book has been 30 years in the making.
I think probably I couldn't have written it in less than 30 years, because it takes so long to learn your way around Venice and to learn what it's really like inside. Venice appears to be a closed city, and I think it is quite closed, but there is one key which opens Venice in a most interesting way, and that is if you have a child born in Venice, suddenly the hearts of the Venetians open to you.
And why is that, do you think? Explain.
Well, for one thing, Venetians adore children, and family life takes place in the open, in the campos, in the streets. We all live each other's lives. We all invade each other's private space all the time. And I think probably that's what involves people so intimately in your life. And when you're living a family life in Venice, I think that has an effect on how much you belong.
This book is full of little surprises. Each story has a little surprise, and I really don't want to give them all away. But I do have to ask you about one that I was very amused by. And that is, in one story you indicate that it might be possible to learn the secrets of Venice by eavesdropping from a well-placed window.
I think that probably is true, because everybody is next to you all the time. You're walking down the street with people. People are talking. Nowadays, with cell phones, I think probably eavesdropping must be extremely easy.
Did you learn that by doing it?
I confess that I have, on occasion, overheard conversations on the Vaporetto, which were very interesting, and which I obviously wasn't meant to hear.
One of the characters, I wondered if you could read a short passage from the story about the gondolier, because I think for many people, the gondolier almost represents Venice. And you've got a very short passage that has a very funny sort of description of a gondolier. And it begins, "When Bruno pulled up."
When Bruno pulled up to the Pontile at the Greti, the two women were waiting. They made a big fuss over him. He felt a little sorry for the brunette, who was probably as taken with him as the blonde was, and would soon have to face the bitter truth. He was in high spirits as he rode through the gondola station at San Moise, winking and saluting his friends, so they would take a good look at his favorite passenger. They registered their approval with grins and nods.
I think it's really interesting for anybody who has visited Venice as a tourist to even contemplate what it would be like to live there. It almost seems like a city that people don't live in, and that's what's kind of interesting about this book, to really get the sense of how people do live their lives in this city, which is based almost completely on tourism now.
It's something that you never become blasé about, I think. Every time you come back to Venice, you think, goodness me, here I am in this most unusual place. I think a lot of people possibly might like to leave Venice and can't, because they have this feeling that life would be never the same.
Tell me more about the aristocracy of Venice, because it is a dying world, it seems like, and yet a very intriguing one. How deeply into it have you been able to get in the 30 years you've been living there?
I think the aristocrats are amongst the most welcoming in Venice, because they're certainly the most international. When you first come to Venice, if you don't speak Italian very well, the aristocrats all speak English and are welcoming and genial. And of course, the aristocrats are connected to the history of Venice that we all read about, because Venice was, after all, run by the aristocrats.
Your stories take the reader into some of the wonderful houses of Venice, including one which is haunted. Are many of these houses thought to be haunted?
There are quite a few. There are probably more that are said to be haunted than are famous for being haunted. And the one that I write about is probably the one that has the most famous name for bringing bad luck.
But you take care of the bad luck in the story, but that's another secret we can't give away.
In fact, I hope I've done someone a favor by doing that.
More than one of these stories actually deals with the supernatural, and it seems to me that Venice would be a city where it would be easy to believe in the supernatural or to think that magical kinds of things could happen.
I think that's very true, and I think it's part of Venice, this sense of the supernatural. I think people do believe in the supernatural in Venice. There is a great deal of superstition. It's bad luck to walk in certain places. It's bad luck to do certain things. You mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. I think superstition is a part of Venetian life.
Have any of your Venetian friends read your book yet?
Yes, and I'm very happy to say that they think it's all right.
Do they feel that you've captured Venice or Venetians in some way?
Yes, but I admit they're surprised. But after all, after 30 years, it seems quite natural that even something as complex as Venice you can understand if you really try, if you really want to. And I wanted to from the moment I arrived. I wanted to understand everything.
Well, thanks so much. It was good talking with you.
Thank you.
Jane Turner Ryland's new book is Venetian Stories. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.